wandering aimlessly, thirsting endlessly. All I found was bitter water from an earthly stream. How my soul did cry, how I feared to die. Everlasting life was just a dream. Water from the rock is what I needed. Water from which no one is denied. And when I came to Christ for my salvation, I found Jesus was a rock that satisfied. In this wilderness, there's dark wilderness, He was smitten with a rod from His Father's hand. All my sins He bore, as He suffered more than this human mind could understand. Water from the rock is what I needed. Water from which no one is denied. And when I came to Christ for my salvation, I found Jesus was the rock that satisfied. Satisfied. If you're looking for life with something more, there's refreshing water flowing now from Calvary. Leave your past behind, climb God's hill and find heaven's answer for your soul's deep need. Water from the rock is what I needed. Water from which no one is denied. And when I came to Christ for my salvation, I found Jesus was the rock that satisfied. I found Jesus was the rock that satisfied.
If you want to, that's all right. We're not much of a clapping church when it comes to that. I'd like to have amens rather than clapping, but it's all right once in a while. Amen. So open your Bible to Matthew 19 this morning, if you would. Matthew 19. And sat down the other day and started writing a message. I had no idea on earth why I was drawn to this passage and why in the world I was writing this message. Other than we have the children's workers meeting tonight, maybe that was on my mind. We had this preacher's kids conference, maybe that was on my mind. But I was drawn to Matthew 19 and verse 13, where the scripture says, "Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. And I want to speak this morning on Jesus' love for children. I had no idea if we'd have four kids with a broken heart this morning. Isn't God amazing? God is absolutely an amazing God. Just contemplating and asking, Lord, what for Sunday morning? What to speak to the people? Sometimes I have definite direction. I've got a passage and I know. Other times it's kind of going through the fog a little bit. And this began to get on my mind and heart. So I'll speak for a little bit on the subject, Jesus' love for children. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I'm glad you had time to take the little kids in your lap. I'm glad you still have time for them. You're in heaven. You've left us here to be the vessels to show your love to little children. I pray that you'd help us as a church, not only, Lord, to show love to little children through this ministry year-round, help us especially in these next few days to show love to little children whose hearts are very saddened this morning. Help me in these few moments speak to our hearts with this simple message I ask in Jesus' name and amen. Pastor, how many buses do you run? Pastor, we need to split our 3-, 4-, and 5-year-old Sunday school class. Pastor, we could use a couple more workers at King's Kids. Pastor, we need another chaperone for junior camp. Pastor, we need to spend some money for primary camp. Pastor, these young people would like to go to youth conference, but the money is tight. Anything we can do to help them? Pastor, can we plan this activity, this youth activity, on this night or afternoon? Pastor, the nursery needs some more rockers for the ladies to rock the babies. Pastor, we could use some more chairs for junior church. Some of our old ones are torn up. Pastor, here's the schedule for Vacation Bible School. What do you think? I just gave you 10 different questions or statements that I will answer or hear over and over again in the course of a year here at our church. What I'm trying to tell you, folks, is that there's a lot of time, energy, money, and effort put into ministering to children at Faith Baptist Church. And I want to say that the time and the energy and the money and the effort put into ministering to kids at our church, it's absolutely amazing, first of all. And second of all, it's worth every ounce of energy and it's worth every penny of investment, monetarily wise, for these precious young people that God allows us to have here at our church. It's worth it. I wrote a little paragraph in the bulletin several days ago, and I've entitled it, Giving Our Best for Our Best. You can read it sometime if you care to. I simply said, you know, our best, the best we have to offer at Faith Baptist Church is our young people. The best my wife and I have to give to the Lord is our 6 kids. That's the best we have. It's the best you have. And the best we have as a church to offer the Lord is the young people who come, and I don't care how they get here, in a car, in a van with 18 other siblings, or if they come on a bus or a van or a car, I don't care how they get here. It doesn't matter to me. They're important to God. If they're members or if they're children of men and ladies who are members, it doesn't matter. Any young person that sits in the ministries of Faith Baptist Church is precious to God, and precious for that reason, precious to us. You know, there are very few incidents in the life of Christ that are recorded in all 4 Gospels, very few. Very few miracles that are recorded in all 4 Gospels. And a few more, but not many, are recorded in 3 of the 4 Gospels. But the story about Jesus receiving these children that we read in Matthew chapter 19, that's recorded, one of few things that's recorded in 3 out of the 4 Gospels. It's recorded in Mark chapter 10, Luke chapter 18, and here in Matthew 19. Matthew says it was little children that came to Jesus. Mark says it was young children. And Luke says it was infants. Hey, yeah, what's the word I'm looking for in my mind's? It starts with a C. It's not contrast, but the... inconsistent, but the contradictions. There it is. The contradictions in the Bible. There it is right there. Matthew says little children, Mark says young children, and Luke says infants. Folks, can you stop and think for just a moment? We got all 3 here in this church this morning. We have little children, we have young children, we have infants. And I would think that the size of the crowd that was following Jesus Christ was probably multiplied much times greater than our size crowd this morning. There probably were little children and young children and infants in the crowd that was pressing around Jesus Christ. Now, if you're looking for contradictions in the Bible, maybe that will satisfy you. If you're like me, I'm not looking for contradictions because I know what the book is. It's the Word of God. I don't need all that business. But anyway, just in case, in this size crowd, you'd find all age groups of kids with their parents, and the parents of these little ones and these young ones and these infant-aged children sought to bring their children to Jesus. Now, wouldn't you and I desire the same thing if Jesus were bodily present on this earth today? What if Jesus Christ were going to be at Bird Park in Kankakee? Would you go with your kids? And I would. I think men would take off work. I think people would change their schedules. I think they'd do anything and everything they had to do to take their children to Bird Park just for the opportunity to see Jesus Christ. I mean, I remember as a boy standing in a line because Lyndon Baines Johnson, LBJ. I'm kind of dating myself, aren't I? President of the United States was having his motorcade right by our school outside of East Point, Georgia. I stood in the motorcade to get a glimpse of LBJ as a little kid because my mom, who wasn't a Democrat and didn't vote for LBJ, wanted us to see the president. So how would it be with Jesus? You reckon we'd go? I'm almost certain. I know we'd go. And so this is what these folks want. And you know, think about, you know, you're there, but think about the opportunity to actually have your child brought to Christ. Close. And if he's sitting on a park bench, you or I would wonder, what if he could get close enough to sit in his lap? So these parents are like you and me. They want to bring their children to Jesus. You know, wise parents still work hard to bring their kids to Jesus Christ. He may not be here bodily on the earth, but parents, we can bring our kids to Christ through the Bible and through devotions at home and through Sunday school class and through church services and by our life example. And we can do that not only for our children, but for the children in this community whose parents don't come to church or don't care for it or they're too busy or they're working. And we can bring them to Jesus Christ just as we can our own flesh and blood kids, and how important it is that our children know about Jesus. More important it is for them to know about Jesus than it is for them to know about Hollywood or sports or the entertainment industry or even business. It's important for kids to be brought to Christ. And in this story, remarkably, as these parents attempted to bring their little ones to Christ, the disciples, if you will, the workers with Jesus, they rebuked the parents. Now, who knows what they said? And by the way, you know, give them a break. If you and I were in the shoes of the disciples, maybe we would have done the same thing. Hey, look, folks, you know, you can't, good grief, you can't smother Christ. And so they're trying to hold these parents off and say, no. And, you know, people say, well, they told them they didn't have time for it. I don't know what they said. We're not told what they said. Speculate, but that's all it is, speculation. I don't know what they said, but they said it. I don't know why they said it, but they rebuked the parents. And Jesus saw His disciples, His workers, those who were called to follow Him. He saw His disciples turning those parents away who were trying to bring their little children and their young children, their infants, to Jesus. And Mark's gospel says, when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased. Much. Not just a little bit. Much displeased. So their actions and their words, they made Jesus aggravated. And through their actions and words, they made Him upset. And they displeased Him. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, we don't find Jesus often in this kind of spirit and attitude where He is displeased and upset, and especially with His disciples. Okay? Remember when He went to the Lord's table with them in Luke 22, He said, with desire, I have desired to eat this supper with you. He chose to be with them. He loved those men. Buddy, they aggravated Him. And it was all because they made it tough for kids to get to Jesus. And you think about that. Upset with His chosen 12 because they made it difficult for kids to get to Jesus Christ. Kind of sounds like, if I want to please Jesus, I better be involved in helping to bring little ones to Him, instead of making it difficult for them to come to Him. Be careful, friend, that you don't fall into seeing only the difficulties and the problems of children's ministries. My, all these children, and they run the hallways, and they scuff up the floors, and they mark up the walls, and their handprints are on the glass doors, and they spill their snacks, and they have accidents. My, what are we going to do with all of these kids? We're going to do our best to bring them to Jesus Christ. We're going to do our best for those of us who bring our own kids here, and we're going to do our best for the children who live out here whose parents don't bring them. That's what we're going to do. We didn't build a building to bow down to. I think we ought to take care of it But I am glad that in the normal course of using it as a tool, it gets marked up, scuffed up, beat up, because we have a bunch of kids running around. I had 7 boys in the bathroom this morning during Sunday school with the lights out. All right. What are you going to do? Die? Have a heart attack? Huh? It's kids. You know, it happens. Oh, I shouldn't bring him in. Oh, okay. One little incident. And see, isn't it amazing how God puts all these things together? The pastor asked me yesterday, we had a question and answer session because Gary Way didn't make it. Gary Way and his family got knocked out of coming from Dallas because of the storms that came through Thursday morning. They were flying out early afternoon, and they canceled all flights till Thursday afternoon. And Brother Way and his family couldn't get on the plane until Saturday morning. They would have got to Bourbonnais at 11 o'clock, and the conference ended at noon. You don't spend $1,000 to come here for 1 hour, bringing 4 people. So they didn't come. So we had to be flexible. We had a question and answer session, and a pastor asked me, Brother Angel, with your kids the age they are, what have you learned about mistakes you made? I said, overreacting. Not everything is a crisis. A handprint on a glass door is not a crisis. Are you listening this morning? What are we going to do with all these kids? How much money does it take to run those buses and put gas in them and engine? By the way, folks, can we say that God was good to us that all summer last year, when gas was $4.29 a gallon and diesel fuel was over $5, that we as a church were able to maintain all of our bus routes and keep bringing all those kids in, and we didn't go under financially? We finished the year in the black. Isn't that a blessing? You mean in spite of all? No, I mean maybe because of that. Maybe because of that. Maybe because there's money and time and effort and energy invested in trying to help bring kids to Jesus. Maybe God looked down from heaven and said, I think I'll keep that church in the black. I think I'll keep that church afloat. What are we going to do with all these kids? We're going to love them and do our best to help bring them to Jesus. I believe one reason these parents wanted to bring their kids to Jesus was because they knew that Jesus loved them. Because Jesus loves everybody. Getting kids to the love of Christ is a worthwhile ministry. Jesus is not here in body. You say, well, man, those folks that were living in that day and age have a wonderful advantage that they could actually bring their kids to the bodily presence of Jesus Christ. And our kids don't have that today. No, they don't. And that was an advantage. But you understand there was only one bodily Jesus. So that means if you can't get to where He is, you couldn't bring your kids to Christ. But do you understand, friend, that through our vessels, through our bodies and our lives, those of us that are left here on this earth who know Jesus Christ, do you understand that Jesus wants to work through us to bless little children and to bring them to Jesus Christ? And can I tell you, that's quite an advantage when you look around at how many adults give their hearts and lives to helping little children. Let me talk to you this morning quickly. I only have a few minutes because of all that's happened this morning. But you know what I see in this love of Christ? I see the touch of love. The touch of love in verse 15. And He laid His hands on them. Mark chapter 10, verse number 16 says that Jesus put His hands upon them. In fact, all 3 Gospels mention this is why. One of the reasons they wanted to bring their children to Jesus Christ, they wanted Christ to touch them. The touch of love. There is so much that can be conveyed with a touch. Huh? Unfortunately, in our perverted society, we have many who have done wickedly with children, and those of you who work with the children here at our church, and Brother Caleb will go over this tonight, you and I have to be careful about hands, physically hands on children, because there's been so much garbage out there, even the touch of innocence can be misrepresented. But there is something that putting your hand on the head of a little boy and tousling his hair, there's something you can say in that touch of love that you can't say verbally. There's something about patting a little child on the head, a little girl on the head. When I got to the home this morning, Joey and David were still asleep. I waited for a while. Tom wanted to let them sleep on, not wake them up. But Lois was up and Alan was there. I don't. What are you going to say to Lois? Doing okay? Of course she's not doing okay. All I can do. It's called the touch of love. You know, I hope she felt through that. I'm not Jesus Christ. I couldn't buckle his sandals. But I hope she felt the touch of Jesus' love through that touch. And those of you who work with our kids, I'm talking about our kids that come with us to church and these kids who come, whose moms and dads don't come with them. I don't want you to be foolish and I don't want you to get yourself in trouble or our church in trouble, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. We're not robots. We're not mechanical, unfeeling human beings. So many kids grow up in our society today, they don't know anything about a real touch of love. They felt the touch of the back of a hand. And it's good if it's done proper and right for the touch of love. And I mean appropriate, and I mean innocent, and our policies and our screening process are in place, hopefully, to prevent any pedophile from ever entering into church children's ministries here. In fact, I think one tried to get in here some years ago from Moments. All he could talk about on the Sunday night that he came with, I want to work with kids. On Sunday night, I made an appointment to see him. When I went to Moments to see him, moved here from Texas, and he said, "Now I want to work with the children. I want to work with the kids. I want to work with the kids." He kept saying that over and over again. Finally, I said, "Well, friend, I don't know you, and I don't know the church where you're from, and I don't know your pastor. So, you know, you're going to have to kind of sit around for 6 months until we get to know each other. And then you've got to fill out a screening process that approves you for ministry with children." That was the last I heard about working with kids and never saw his face again. That's interesting, isn't it? And Scott and I made a visit. One fella, "I want to sing. I'm a singer. I can cover it right. I'm a 3-octave range." What's that mean? 3-octave range? I have no idea what it means. "Oh, I want to sing in your church. We're going to come. I want to sing. Scott said he won't last 2 weeks. He didn't even make it 2 weeks. He still hadn't shown up because I didn't say, "Oh, you can sing." It's nonsense, isn't it? I don't know why I said that, but a lot of things going through my mind this morning. The love of Jesus can be conveyed by the touch of a bus captain's hand, the touch of a junior church worker's hand. Touch of love. When a child gets hurt, fall off a bicycle, what do they want to do? They want somebody to touch them, hold them. Now, I'm not saying you can't put children on your lap. They're not yours. It's just unfortunate that we live in such a perverted society that you can't do that. But I'm not against and I'm for the adults of our church in a proper and right way patting a little boy on the head and tousling his hair, touching a little girl's head in plain sight of everybody and saying, "I love you. I'm glad you're here." The touch of love. And by the way, folks, I don't expect anything less out of our church in these next few days. Some children need love. I see the touch of love. I'm not even preaching this morning. My heart's just all over the place. I see the words of love. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10, verse 16, that Jesus blessed them. I don't know what Jesus said to these children, but He blessed them. I imagine this. I imagine their kind words. I imagine their encouraging words. I imagine their helpful words. I imagine their words that would inspire and motivate. Hey, let me say it. Parents and those of us workers in the church, a lot of times, you know, we're in a position where we have to say a lot of words of correction and a lot of words of commanding. You know, if you're in a situation where you have to say a lot of words of correction and commanding, that you better be sure you balance that with words of commendation. Parents have to tell their kids no. Parents have to verbally correct their kids. But if you're and if you're doing that, amen, but don't leave off the other side of it. Commend them. I imagine that's what Jesus did. Praise them. You see these little kids running around here, and it's obvious that they come on the bus. Their behavior, and hey, you better straighten up or you'll never come back here. You know, why don't you leave that for the person that needs to deal with it, and just tell them, boy, I'm glad you come to our church. You say, are there problems? I don't think so, but it doesn't hurt to just talk about it, does it? We want these kids to come. I'm going to tell you something. It made Jesus very angry when workers made it hard for kids to come to Christ. We want these kids to come. You got the touch of love. You got the words of love. You got the prayer of love. Verse number 13, and He should put His hands on them and pray. These parents brought their kids to Jesus so He could have the touch of love, the words of love, and then the prayer of love. Moms and dads, don't neglect the ministry of prayer for your children. And let love motivate those prayers. Brother Tim Booth did such a good job this pastor's conference. Tim Booth has 4 children. 2 of his kids are doing outstanding. John is a wonderful young man. I'll say this to you. I'm impressed with John Booth. His platform leadership, his poise, but not just that, his heart. His daughter Michelle's married to Seth Hickson, who's a pastor in Michigan. And then Brother Tim has 2 boys that are not doing good. They're young men, long gone from his home. He's very transparent about his family. Very transparent to us. Very transparent to the men, ladies, who are here for this conference. The heartache, wept, just said, he said, I heard Brother Woodward say years ago that in fundamentalism, we're very good about burying kids who don't do right and never making a way for them to get resurrected. Now you let that sink in. There will always be a way for kids who haven't done right to come back. Always. And a lot of that's accomplished by the prayer of love. Brother Booth said as a little boy, as a teenager, coming back from football games when he was a senior in high school with bumps and bruises all over his body, laying down in the bed on a Friday night. And then Mom would come in, kneel by the bed, and pray for her son. Night after night after night. That's what these parents wanted Jesus to do. They wanted Jesus to pray for them. He said, well, Jesus is in heaven. And He left me and you here. We can have the prayer of love. You have no idea who's sitting in our church. There was a pastor here yesterday, Friday night and Saturday morning. Pastor's right down here in Tuscola, Illinois. Now, you ladies know where that is. That's where the outlet malls are. Just down the road a piece. His name is Jason Garcia. Rich, I don't know if you knew him or not. Probably you taught him. He's a bus kid at Jack Trieber's Church in Santa Clara, California. Just a few weeks ago, Brother Trieber was at Brother Garcia's church. We got to go down and hear Brother Trieber preach. And Brad Boroff was there singing, doing the music, and Mike Zachary was there playing the piano. I saw Brother Trieber preach in the pulpit of a young man that was reached by a bus, whose family was a mess. This man's sitting over here this morning because his daughters were brought to church. Right, George? Because somebody went and picked up his girls. Now he's saved and in church this morning. There's a couple over in the school building teaching Sunday school right now. The kids are up there with Brother Bibbs. Kids came on a bus. Now mom and dad are teaching Sunday school. Incredible. Jesus is in heaven. You and I are here. What he did personally, when he took those little kids up in his lap and touched them and spoke to them and prayed for them, that's what he wants us to do. For our own and for hundreds of others in this community. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in his sight. One thing Jesus told them here, all these adults, one thing Jesus taught the adults, said, if you're going to go to heaven, you're going to have to go to heaven like a little child. You mean if I'm 40 years old, I can't go to heaven unless I become 4 or 8? No. You can get saved at any age. No matter what age you are, you're going to have to come as a child. By faith, simple faith in Jesus Christ, believing His death, His burial, His resurrection to be payment for your sin. What do you mean as a simple, as a little child, Brother Angel? Because you tell an adult that, well, I'll tell you, I think one time I was driving down the road and this red star appeared in front of me and it fell in the middle of the road and an angel came out of there and spoke to me and said, you know, and I just don't believe. Oh, really? Yeah, you had way too much sausage on your pizza, sir, or jalapeno peppers or something. Well, that's just your opinion. Blah, 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 blah. You talk to adults, they got every kind of experience and every kind of argument. You talk to a little child about Jesus Christ and, you know, you ever told a lie? You shouldn't lie. The Bible says that if you sin, since you're a sinner, you've got to spend eternity apart from God in the place called the hell, the lake of fire. But Jesus loves you and He died for you. He wants to be your Savior. If you'll trust Him. I want to be saved. And if you're here this morning as an adult and you're not on your way to heaven and you want to be saved, that's how you have to be saved. You have to be saved with the attitude and spirit of a little child that just says, yes, Jesus. Yes. Amen. Jesus' love for little children. The touch of love, the words of love, and the prayer of love. All these kiddos that come to our church in cars with mom and dad or on buses without, I trust that we'll be that vessel of love for them. Allow Jesus to love us through Him with our touch, our words, and our prayers. Amen? All right, let's pray together this morning. Dear Father, thank You for the Scripture and all that it teaches us, and I sure didn't Yeah, I just didn't have Lord the gumption in my soul to stomp around and preach this morning. Little children having to carry an awful heavy load today. Help them. Thank you for the many children who come to our church. Help us as workers and helpers to have the touch of love and the words of love and the prayer of love so that they can be brought to Jesus Christ. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask this morning, how many folks would say, Pastor Angel, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I know where I'd spend eternity because I've been saved. Be honest now. Be honest. Don't guess at it. Well, I think so. Then don't. Be honest. You know that you're saved. And on your way to heaven, would you slip your hand up in the air, please? Put it up. Put it right back down. All right. Thank you. Now, maybe there were some this morning you could not lift a hand. You do not know for sure that you're saved. I appreciate you being honest. Is there somebody here this morning, Brother Angel? I do not know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you please raise your hand right now? Nobody's looking. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Side to side, front to back. Member or visitor. I'm not sure that I'm saved, Pastor Angel. Would you do that this morning? Let me pray for you. See a small child's hand, any adult, teenager, member or visitor. Not sure that I'm saved. Balcony. Anybody like that this morning? If you're a child, if you're a teenager, if you're an adult, and you're lost without Christ, Jesus wants you to come to Christ, to Him, and be saved. He sure does. Anybody? Before I pray. How many this morning, Pastor Angel, anybody here would say, Brother Angel, I'm saved, but I've never been baptized since I've been saved. Haven't followed the Lord in believers' baptism yet, and I need to. Would you pray for me? Would you lift a hand here this morning? Anybody like that? Maybe you came for the purpose of being baptized. If you did, come on right now. If you don't know for sure now what baptism is, then you step out and come, and we can talk to you about it. That's wonderful. We have folks that will help as we prepare this morning for baptism. All right. To all of us at Church, at Faith Baptist Church, as badly as we want to build this church around men and women and adults and workers and faithful folks, we are happy and blessed to have hundreds of children who attend here as well. May we never get tired of it. May we put our best for our best. Convey to them through the touch of love, the words of love, and the prayer of love, the love of Jesus Christ. And if you work with young people, those times can be trying. Those times at times can be frustrating. But you balance it all out with a deep and unending love for little children, the love of Christ for little children. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation this morning.